It's 30 a day, the day away, Moshe Feldman.
Good morning, Rabbi Say. Thank you very much for coming. Yisrochag Yom Tov. A late night Yom Tov is not easy to come. First thing in the morning, Yisrochag. You're walking along, or you go to a simcha, and in the distance, you see somebody. At first thought, it's somebody that you haven't seen for a long time. Maybe since yeshiva days. Maybe even school days. Can't be. Why should he be here? I don't know. I haven't seen him for years. You get closer and closer. And as you get closer, you realize it is him. It's a friend, somebody you knew very well years and years ago. And you've seen him. You've recognized him. And he's recognized you. And you come up to each other and the friendship is renewed after so many years. You're able to speak to each other. Able to talk about what's been happening over the years, the families you've built up, Baruch Hashem, the wonderful besuras and wonderful happenings which the Eibishter has brought to both sides. Hakara. There's a big difference between knowing something and recognizing something. You recognize means you have it in front of you and it's clear that's what it is, that is who it is, and there's no doubt. There might have been a doubt at first, but now there's absolutely no doubt. In Pirkei Avos we say, Chaviv Adam Shenivra Betzelem. A person was created Betzelem Elohim. Very difficult to know exactly what that means. Many pshatim what it means. The image of Hashem. Hashem has no image. Eloi Demus Haguf. So very hard to know what you mean by the image of Hashem. But the Maral takes on, quite simply, that Tzelem means that Eibishter has put inside a person's intellect, a person's machshava, to be able to recognize Hashem. Not only to recognize Hashem, but even to become close to Hashem. You might think, we can't see Hashem. Ein lo demusaguf, as we say, no appearance, no form. It's very, very hard to recognize Hashem. You can't recognize the demus, there's no demus. And you can't see and you can't feel Hashem. But the Eibishter's put in a person, tzelem Elohim, to be able to feel Hashem, to be able to recognize Hashem, and even to be able to become close to Hashem. Tzelem Elohim. However, the Mishnah in Avos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud Ches, carries on even further. Chavivin Yisrael, she nitan lahem tlichem, she nikru vonim lamokim. Yisrael are not only given the capacity to recognize Hashem and to feel Hashem, they are actually called bonim. Bonim atem Hashem alokeichem. A very big difference between Adam and bonim is that Adam is a situation where a person looks out to somebody else. He looks out to Adam. If he's able to follow in the other person's instructions, he's able to follow, he's able to continue in the person's ways, then he is considered a friend. However, as soon as he deviates from the way, as soon as he goes away from the instructions of the person, from the instructions of the father, then he's no longer considered a friend of the person. Masha Enke, when it comes to a father and a son, when it comes to Bonim, however estranged the son may come from his father, he's always Bonim Atem Lashem Elokeichem. He can never, ever, ever lose the status of Bonim. That recognition is there, l'olam v'ed. However far, however pushed away nidochim a person is, as the Pasuk says in Vayeshanan, we lay on Tisha B'Av, the whole batzalacha, when a person is v'nidachto, when a person is pushed away, so far away, he's able to return to Hashem because he remains the Eibishter's child. Bonim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. And a child can't lose the status. So says Tiferes Yisrael. Yirmiyahu, even when he's talking about the chatoim of the people, the sins of the people, he still calls them foolish children of Hashem. And Moshe Rabbeinu speaks about disloyal sons. And Yeshaya in Chazon speaks about bonim mashchisim. Continue to speak about children, children, children. Children continue to remain a child of the Klal Yisrael, continue to remain a child of the Eibishter. The Mishnah carries on even further. And now, after Shavuos, we can recognize this, we can feel it. Chavivin Yisrael shenitan lahem kli kendo. Not only do they have Tzelem Elokim, not only are they bonim, but they're given a very special keli. Now, a king has many, many possessions. A king has a vast amount of treasure. And if he turns round to a subject and he says, I'm giving you a kli chendo, I'm not just giving you something, I'm giving you a kli chendo, you could be sure that this is a real, real, real kli chendo. This is a real treasure. The Eibishter is telling us, Ki lekach toiv nosati lochem. I have given you a real treasure. I have given you a real lekach. Toirosi al tazoide. I want you to keep it. I don't want you to exchange it. I don't want you to go to customer returns and exchange it for something else. I want you to keep it. Toirosi al tazoivu. Eit chayim hilam achazikim bo. I want you to hold on to it tight. Because I'm telling you that it's a kli chendo. I want you to recognize the Torah. Before Shavuos, we knew we were going to get the Torah. Now that we had the Torah, now that we were given the Torah on Shavuos, we want the Torah to be a kli chendo. We want to be able to appreciate the kli chendo. We want to be able to appreciate the treasure that we've had from the Eibishter. We recognize, and that's our key word today, Bezras Hashem, recognition, hakara, all kinds of hakara. As we say, a difference between knowing something and recognizing. To recognize that Torah is central to the kiyum of the world. It's not only a very nice part of the world. Yes, there are people who learn Torah, very nice. Torah is a central part of the kiyum of the world. And as the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, the last parable we read last Shabbos, Kol ha'osek b'Torah zoche l'dvarim harbe, he nikra rea. He becomes a friend of the Eibishter. Not only a child, but a close child, a friend, nikra rea. Naso kamayon hamisgabe. He becomes like a fountain which increases all the time. An ever-flowing uchonoha she'enoi poisek, like a river that doesn't stop. Sometimes we see a Talmud Chacham, we see a Godel Batorah, who flows with Torah so much and so much and so much. And you say to yourself, how is it possible that a person could be so molei the goddish of Torah? Uchonoha she'enoi poisek. We heard last night from a speaker in Al Torah that the whole idea is, because he has chavivus in Torah. He has such a love for Torah, such a desire for Torah, that this makes him become kamayon hamisgaber uchanoho she'enoi poisik. But sometimes we can become too daunted. We can look at the Torah and we can say, wow, there's so much. A massive Shas. Shas Gemara, Shas Mishnayos, Tosefta, Braises, Midrashim, Chazal, there's so much to learn. If I learn this, it's only a drop in the ocean. A drop in the Yam HaTalmud. We have another Hakorim big of us. Loi Olecha HaMelacha Ligmah. Sometimes you come to a job and the person says, no, can you do it? Are you sure you can do it? I'll do my best. That's not enough. The person wants a room painted and decorated. You can't say, well, I'll have a bash, I'll do my best. You've got to make sure, can you do it or not? Yes or no? Can you paint it and decorate it? Hamalacha ligma. Olecha hamalacha ligma. When it comes to Torah, when you sit down to learn, even if you don't finish the Mishnah, even if you don't finish the piece of Gemara, that is already called Gemiras HaMalacha as far as that Seder of learning is concerned. Loi Olecha HaMalacha Ligma. Every word of Torah is a Hakara that it's something great and something special. You've learned a Mishnah, wow, that's a big deal, as they say. You've learned a piece of Gemara, you've learned a Sugya, you understand the Kasha and Teretz of Tosfos, that's a big deal. You've done it, you've cracked it. That is the Malacha Ligma for today. And even if you only manage the Kasha, and you haven't got through to the answer, that already is, as far as the Abish is concerned, as far as Torah is concerned, that is Malacha Ligma. Because Loi Olecha HaMalacha Ligma for the whole Shas and everything around it. When we speak about Hakorah, one of the biggest Hakorahs, of course, is Hakoras HaTov. To be able to recognize the good that somebody has done to us. Hakoras HaTov. Vayishma Reuven Vayatzilehu Miyodom. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz HaTzal. Reuven made up his mind he was going to save Yosef. He was going to take him out of the boy. And he was going to save him. Why? There was a Gemar Din, there was a Psak Din, he was part of the Psak Din, he was part of the Gemar, and they decided, Miladin, Mendin Torah, Yosef is Chayef Misa. So why now is Reuven coming along by Atzilehu Miyadah? Say Chazal, a Meiridik thing, a most fascinating thing. Reuven realized he owes an amazing Hakoras HaTov to Yosef. Yosef had his dream, and he told over the dream, Vayisape el Ovi ve'alechov. What was the dream? 11 stars bowing down. Not 10, but 11. Reuven is included with all the brothers. Wow, that was such a Basura Teva. He was so worried that he's lost from all the brothers. He's lost from Shivtei Kor because of the Maisa of Bilhah. And he was so worried and so nervous and so upset. And he was anxious. Maybe I'm going to hear the figure 10 and not the figure 11. No, not 10. Please 11. When did he hear 11? When Yosef told over the dreams, his brothers were bowing down to 11 stars. Wow. This Hakoras HaTov that Reuven had for Yosef was so dramatic. It took away the whole possibility of Reuven to be part of that Gemar Din. I'm being so makitov to Yosef. I'm mechuyev to save him. If you think about it, what did Yosef do? He didn't do anything. He was telling over a dream. The dream was all about himself, that all the brothers were going to bow down to him. It had nothing to do with Reuven. He didn't even mention Reuven. He just happened to mention 11 stars. Mentioning 11 stars, that itself was such a big taiva for Reuven. He already owed Hakoras HaTov, and that was it. Even though there was no omel at all, no toil at all on Yosef's part. Nothing at all. Wow, This is already Hakaras HaTov, so much so that the Torah calls Vayishma Ruvein Vayatzilehu Miyodom. He hadn't done it yet. It was only the idea that laid, throw him into the pit, and his future idea to come and bring him out. Lahashiva Yaloviv. Vayishma Ruvein already Vayatzilehu Miyodom. Because he made up his mind that the Hakaras HaTov has already given me the koyach. It's given me the strength to be able to say, I am going to save Yosef. That koyach has given me the koyach. The Gemara says in Yevamos about Reb Chiya. Reb Chiya suffered terribly from his wife. Terribly. She gave him terrible tzaras. I'm not sure whether we're allowed to understand the Kipshutai, I don't know. But that's how the Gemara puts it. And he kept on giving her matonas to appease her. And whenever he found something nice, the Gemara says he would wrap it in a beautiful cloth. Nowadays would have a nice gift wrapped bag. And he would give it to his wife. So they said to him, but Rebbe, she's giving you all this tzaras. She's giving you a terrible time. So he answered two things. Rabbi Isai, she brings up our children and she saves me from the Yetzer Hara. That was the answer. She saves me from Chet. So the question is, she brings up our children, okay. She looks after the family, she feeds us, she clothes us. She takes the kinder to school maybe. She looks after us. But saves from Chet? She's not doing anything to save Reb Chiya from Chet. She's doing it for her own personal family life. So we see that even though there's no kavanah at all to save from Chet, there's no kavanah to do any chitzonius thing. It's simply a matter of family life. Reb Chiya was already makir toiv. I can't do any harm to her. I'm giving her all these matonas because she brings up our children, and in the same breath, she saves me from Chet. Yaakov Avinu says to Yosef, go and see Shalom Achecha veShalom Hatzoin. Pardon? Go and see how your brothers are getting on and how the sheep are getting on. That's put in the same sentence. Your brothers and the sheep. Maybe a posik later, in brackets, an afterthought. Go lech norei shalom achecha veshalom atzoin. Yaakov Avinu was teaching his kinder the shivtei kor, that if you have hano, if you have benefit from somebody, even if that somebody is atzoin, a shepsela, but you have benefit from somebody, that is enough already for you to be makir tov. That's enough for you to show hakoras atov. Veshalom atzoin. We all know the famous Rabbi Akiva, when thousands of Talmidim were around him. And Rachel came, she wanted to meet him after 24 years, Rachel his wife. And she came right, and she held on to the hem of his garment. And they wanted to push her away. And he said, don't push her away. Don't push her away. Everything I have, and everything you have, is all because Shelah. It's all because of her. Do not push her away. Everything I have, I owe to her. Yisro's daughters came back to Yisro, and they said, Ish Mitzri Hitzilonu Miyad Haroim. An Egyptian saved us from the shepherds. An Egyptian. How did they know Moshe had any shaykhs with Mitzrayim? Surely Moshe wasn't dressed like a Mitzri. So what were they saying? Ish Mitzri Hitzilonu. Say Chazal, a famous moshel. A moshel of somebody who was bitten by a snake. He was bitten by a poisonous snake. And the remedy for this poison was to go to the water and bathe in the water, and the water will heal the bite. But it's got to be done quickly, of course. So he runs to the water and he bathes in the water. As he's bathing in the water to try and heal the wound of the bite of the snake, he sees a child drowning. and he rescues the child with all his might. He pulls the child out of the water and he rescues the child. The child runs home and says, "Wow, this man saved me. This man saved me from drowning." Says the man, "Don't thank me. Thank the snake. If it wouldn't have been for the snake who bit me, I wouldn't have had to go down to the water. I went down to the water and bathed, and that's how I was saved from the bite of the snake. And that's how I was able to save the child." The Abishah said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Nekoim nikmas b'nei Yisrael me'eis ha-Midyonim. Go and declare war on Midian. Gather an army, gather all the soldiers from each shevet, and go and fight Midian." Moshe Rabbeinu did not go himself. Moshe Rabbeinu ordered a general to go. Elazar was in charge, not Moshe. The Abishah said, "Nekoim nikmas b'nei Yisrael." It's a tivoy to Moshe. Why didn't Moshe do it? Said Moshe, "I was brought up in Midian. I was brought up by the people of Midian. I can't do it. I simply can't do it. They looked after me." I think Medrash says 40 years he was in Midian. I think so. The king of Midian even.
Kush for 40 years.
Kush 40 years? Yeah.
10 years.
Certainly a number of years in Midian. Nisgavel, but Midian, I can't do it. I can't wage war against Midian. How did Moshe Rabbeinu know this? Moshe Rabbeinu knew because the first three Makkos had to be orchestrated by Aaron and not Moshe. Because Moshe was saved by the water, and the water of the Nilus or the Nile had to be hit by the stick. That was done by Daman Svadea by Aaron. And Kinim had to be initiated by the dust of the ground, and that was done by Aaron too, because Moshe Rabbeinu was saved by the dust when he was able to take the Mitzri and hide him in the sand. Even though that Hatzon lasted a few hours, because the next day already, the two Ivrim Dosan and Aviram saw him telling off the Mitzri, and already he was taken to Paroi. How long already did the whole Yeshua last of killing the Mitzri? But that was enough already for Moshe to be Makir Toiv, and for the Abishah to say to him, "I don't want you to be the one to strike the dust." So Moshe Rabbeinu learnt from that, Hakoras HaToiv is even an inanimate object. Like the water and the dust, I don't do it. In Pirkei Avos, a Perek Beis Mishnah Tes, the Mishnah enumerates a number of Eizu Midurah Sheyuchak Bohadam, a number of bad midas that a person should keep far away from. And one of them is Haloiza the Einoi Meshalim, somebody who borrows money and he doesn't pay. But surely that's a detail. All the others are basic things, all the others are clear cut things. All the different midas. Rabbi Lazar says Ayin Ra, Rabbi Shua says Chaver Ra, Rabbi Yossi says Shochen Ra, Rabbi Lazar says Lev Ra. In the middle you have Rabbi Shimon Haloiva Ve'enoi Mishalim. Echad Haloiva Min Ha'odom Kaloiva Min Ha'mokim. When it comes to Midah Tova, we have all the opposites. So Rabbi Lazar says Ayin Tova, Rabbi Shua says Chavet Tov, Rabbi Yossi says Shochen Tov, Rabbi Shimon says Horoya Es Hanoilat. Why is that the opposite to Loiva Ve'Eloi Mishalim? Because if you borrow money and you don't want to pay back, you don't bother to pay back, you're not Makir Tov to the person who lent you money. But if you're Roya Sanoilad, you will see that if you behave like this, people won't lend you money in the first place. If you keep on being a Loiva Ve'Eloi Mishalim, had you been a Roya Sanoilad, then you wouldn't be a Loiva Ve'Eloi Mishalim. So we see the Makir Tov. It's not just a detail, loyva ve'eino mishalem. Yaakov Avinu, when he woke up from his sleep, like I see, it's only 5 minutes, I have to work out carefully what to miss out. Yaakov says, Ma noira hamokoim hazeh. How awesome is this place? A posik later, it says, Vayashkem Yaakov Baboika. But he'd already woken up. He'd already woken up the first time when he said, Ma noira hamokoim hazeh. Do you mean to say that Yaakov fell asleep again? And the answer is yes. Even after saying Ma noira hamokoim hazeh, he fell asleep again. Why did he fall asleep again? Because till now he'd learned that sleep is something that you be without. As we know, 14 years in Shem Eva, lo shochav balayla, he didn't actually lie down to, of course he had to sleep. But for 14 years, lo shochav balayla, he didn't lie down to sleep at night. Now Yaakov Avinu was able to show, no. Sleep, yes. If you're sleeping in order to regain the strength, in order to continue to be maxing yourself in limud haTorah and kiyum mitzvahs, then sleep is a wonderful thing. It's not something to be frowned upon if you're doing it in order to further your strength and your capabilities to be able to do it. In other words, Yaakov Avinu was makir tov on everything that Eibishter had given him. And if the Eibishter gives a person the power of sleep, to be able to sleep and wake up refreshed, nothing better than that. To be able to feel refreshed, to be able to feel awake, to be able to feel strong, to be able to continue to learn. Finish off with a couple of maises. First of all, as we know for many years in Russia, even after the communists fell, it was very, very hard to keep Torah mitzvahs in Russia. Obviously, after communism, it was that bit easier, of course, but it still took a lot of work to be done to bring the people round, to teach them, to help them, to guide them. And there was a town, or maybe a city, Tbilisi, in Georgia. And there, in that town, they arranged for people to come, the Vaad La'atzola Nidche Yisrael, to come to this part of Georgia, this part of Russia, to help the people to be able to return to Torah. And the town took from the yeshiva, they took boys and they made a boys' choir to greet a delegation of Choshuva people who were coming to teach Torah. Bereishom Rebatisho Solomon Shlita. And they came along, and the choir sang a most beautiful choir. Beautiful songs. Then, after the choir, they all lined up, Pastor Matishyahu, to get a bracha. To get a bracha from the Mashgiach. They all took turns, formed a line, formed a queue, till they came to one boy. Yuri. Yuri was not wearing a kapel. No yarmulke. He wasn't wearing a yarmulke. And he said, I'm not Jewish. My father's not Jewish. I'm not Jewish. But his mother was Jewish. Which means, of course, he's a Yid. And I don't need a couple, and besides, I've got a necklace which my father gave me, and any protection from God I already have on this necklace. I don't need to wear a yarmulke. He wasn't a rebellious boy, but this is not but what he thought. Came Pastor Matisyahu, and Matisyahu said to him, young man, I can see you're not wearing a yarmulke. So the boy, I'm not sure whether the boy answered or not. But the Matishyahu said, you know, you need to wear a kapel before I can give you a bracha. You know what? Let me fix this problem. The Matishyahu lifted his hat, took away his kapel from under his hat, put the Batishoah's kapel on the boy's head. Put it on the boy's head. He said, oh, now I can give you a bracha. I fixed the problem. And he didn't ask for it back, and the lion carried on. The next day, this Uri turns up at the office of the chief rabbi of Georgia, Rabbi Levine. And he comes in to him and he says, Rabbi, as you can see, I'm wearing a yarmulke. It wasn't a Batishoah's, it was a different one. I've got myself a yarmulke. And he told him the story what happened the day before. He was still wearing his necklace. He said, but since I was given this yarmulke by the great rabbi, I've had such a feeling of protection, of security from God, that I feel I don't need this necklace anymore. And I feel that my father who gave me this necklace will be happy for me to take it off. I can feel that he doesn't require me to wear it any longer. And he took off the necklace and he put it on the table and he looked like a proper Hamisher young boy. Because Rav Matisyahu didn't just say you need to wear a kapel. He didn't just give him the idea you need to do this and you need to do that. Rav Matisyahu gave him the akara, gave him the recognition of himself. And he himself put his own yarmulke on the boy's head. Have I got time for one more story? One more story, quickly then. As we know, the Ponavisharov, he pointed to a hill in Bnei Barak, an empty hill, and he pointed and he said, I'm going to build a massive yeshiva on that hill. And they laughed at him and said, Rabbi Yosef, you're dreaming. He said, I know I'm dreaming, but I'm not sleeping. I'm going to build the yeshiva. As we know, Ponovitch Yeshiva, B'chvoidoy of Gadloy of Sifartoy for many, 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 many decades, was the biggest yeshiva, still is a big yeshiva, was the biggest yeshiva in the world. And at the opening of the yeshiva building, the Ponovitch Harav turned round to the Kehillah and he said, you think the building started a few years ago? No. The building of the Ponovitch Yeshiva started over 50 years ago in the litter. This building here. Wow. What do you mean by that? He said, let me tell you a maisa. He said, we were living at home with my parents in Russia, in Lithuania. We were living. And the yeshiva was quite a distance from us. And we were taken to the yeshiva every day. We walked to the yeshiva. One day, the very next day, the forecast was a very, very, very terrific snowstorm. And when they forecast a snowstorm, they don't just mean an ordinary snowstorm, they mean a snowstorm where it's impossible to travel, impossible to pass. Okay? The Kahneman family had one pair of walking boots, one pair of boots where, with these boots, it would be possible to walk through that thick, thick snow. So the parents said, you know what, we're going to make a geirel. All the children's names we're going to put in a hat. And then we're going to take out one name. And that will be the lucky boy who will be able to wear these walking boots and go to the yeshiva tomorrow. Nowadays, it's the other way around. The lucky one is the one who gets off school. But in those days, it was. Okay, I'll make it quick. And so, the boys went to bed. We'll let you know. Meanwhile, the mother comes in the middle of the night and she wakes up one of the boys. So the boy says, have I won the girl? No, but I'm taking you to the yeshiva. Who was wearing the boots? The mother. She was wearing the boots and she carried the boy on her shoulder. To cut a long story short, she took each boy in turn. She went back home, took each boy in turn and took each boy to the yeshiva. Rabbi Yosef was the last one. She came to his room and he said, "Have I won the gerel?" "No, Yosef, you haven't, but don't worry. Come with me." She took Yosef and she put him on her shoulders. And she walked through the snow. And on the way, he whispered to her, "Mother, you have taken all of us to the yeshiva to learn tonight. Mother, because of you, I'm going to build a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and it's going to be in your zechus. You brought boys to the yeshiva, I'm going to bring boys to the yeshiva." And that's exactly what he did. The Hagdil Teira or the Hadira.